We have been talking about Love Does Lifestyle all summer long, and we've got a couple more messages on this topic, and we've been in the Sermon on the Mount. So if you're a guest with us today, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, powerful, probably, well, it is the biggest teaching of Christ in one package, these three chapters. And there's so much depth and so much richness and so much confrontation in our lives and the things that Jesus says. And so we've worked through a lot of that in this series, A Love Does Lifestyle. But what can be really frustrating is as we read through these passages and as we study this material, it comes very, very clear that we cannot do what we've been learning all summer long. Have you found that out? You cannot. If we go back to the beginning, Jesus talked about us not being even angry with our brother and a sister and to use words that would be disparaging. And he said, you can't not do that. You're going to get angry at people and you're going to get angry with the wrong kind of thoughts. We talked about keeping your mind pure and not allowing impure sexual things to occupy our minds. And we can't do that either in our own strength. We talked about keeping our oaths and turning other cheek and loving our enemies. And Jesus even said, be perfect as I am perfect. And we know we can't be that. And then it went on to giving with the right attitude and then not worrying. And then a couple weeks ago, not judging. My goodness, all of these things, have we gotten to the place we cannot do these things? It's not possible in our own strength. And that's what today's about, is learning how to do these things, not in our own strength, but learning how to put God first. Learning how to know God, because listen, guys, here's the awesome thing about being a Christian. It's not a religion. It's not a set of rules that we abide by to get Jesus or God to like us, to get Him to approve of us. It is a transformational relationship. This last week, August 23rd, it's a special day for me. It's my spiritual birthday. In the Spirit, in my relationship with God, I turned 41 this year. In serving Christ. Here's what I know. I'm not the same person I was. Now, obviously, I was 15 then. I'm 41 years older now. But really, you know, you get this, right? No matter what age you are, you think you're younger. Anybody have that weird kind of thing in your mind? I do. When I was in my 30s, I still thought I was 19. Right now, in my brain, I'm about 38. You get it, right? I mean, you're not ever who you really are. Your brain kind of shifts you back. In the Spirit, I can look back over my life, and I'm not the same person. I don't do the same things. I don't respond the same way. Over the years, God has taught me, and so I'm becoming different. Now, there are still some hang-ups I have. There are still some issues I'm struggling with working through in my own spiritual life. But there's been growth, and the growth is transformation. My nature is different. Listen, church, there's hope for us today. You don't have to be the same person you are now. And here's what I know. A lot of us have things about who we are that we don't like. Certainly there's a lot of things in our lives that we wish we could change. And I'm not talking about, you know, a new diet or having a plastic surgery. I'm talking about inside of us. The things that come out of us when we get really pressed. The attitudes that come out, the anger or the lust or the selfishness or the manipulation or the words that come out that you wish you could get back or the worry or the fear. All these things that we go, what am I doing? Why am I acting this way? Guys, when we are in Christ, His work, the work of the Holy Spirit in us, is to transform us. Not just to gather us on a Sunday and we sing songs and it's nice and it's good to see each other and we get inspired and then we go and nothing changes. No, it's a transformational journey that we should be getting more and more and more like Him. That our nature, literally our nature is changing. Not just different behaviors. How many know you can change a behavior but have the same snotty attitude, right? We can do that. You can put on your nice face and say, yes, fine, fine, fine. But inside you're going, ugh. We all have that inconsistency. But But God is desirous that we actually really, truly change so that you don't respond the same way anymore. You don't have the same thought patterns anymore. You don't have the same reactions or the same attitudes toward things in life. That God is changing us into His likeness. Isn't that powerful? You don't have to keep being the way you are. You can become more and more and more like Christ. Do you get easily angry? God says He give you patience by His Holy Spirit. Or rather, change you into a patient person by His Holy Spirit. Do you have difficulty maybe with an addictive personality, addictive thoughts or addictive ways of being? God says He will change you into a self-controlled person. Is there a negativity or just kind of a it's never going to work out type of a fear and a worry inside? Well, God says He can transform you into a joyful person, a peaceful person. It's not some self-help book. It's a God transformational lesson. He really, really wants to do this in our lives. It's going to change our nature. The nature of a dog is to bark. The nature of a snake is to strike. The nature of us is to self-preserve and self and to defend. The nature of God is to love. And God's intent is to change us into loving people, into people according to His nature. Now to do this, you have to put God first. I have to put God first. What does it mean to put God first? It means that we submit to Him and that what God says, it's no longer about what I want, but it's about what He says. I don't live my life according to the ways that I think are right or the decisions that I think make sense. I submit those to God. I don't manage my money or manage my household or my work ethic or whatever I do in my life is always submitted to Him. God, You're the leader. You're the master. I'm the servant. How do I treat others? How do I respond? It's Him and Him alone. Well, how do we get to know God? Very, very simply, you gotta talk to Him. How do you get to know anybody? Unless you spend time with them. We call this prayer. For a lot of people, prayer is a really, really weird concept. I'm meeting with a couple of people right now that are just brand new babies in the Lord. And it's interesting to talk with them, and I'm trying to get them to learn what it means to pray and how to pray. And for some reason, there's this roadblock when it comes to prayer. So we'll spend an hour together, and we'll talk and talk and talk, and they're conversing, and it's a wonderful conversation, and we're just rolling together. And then we say, okay, it's time to quit. Let's pray. Would you like to pray? No, 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 no. Can't pray. No, no, no. You pray. You pray. And I'm trying to help them. We've just been talking for an hour, haven't we? Yeah. Well, because we're friends, right? Yeah. And was it weird for you? No. Then what's weird about talking to God? Well, I don't know. I don't know how to say anything. I don't know the words. Well, you've just been using the words. Isn't it weird how we kind of just get paralyzed sometimes when it comes to prayer? Maybe even prayer out loud. I don't know if that's the thing. But we talk to God. He wants to know us. Here's what Jesus said. Over here on this screen. We're going to get our screen fixed real soon, by the way. The projector's in the shot, so we're getting there. Here's what Jesus said. Ask and it will be given to you. Would you just read this with me? Read it with me, okay? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, knowing your evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Let's pray. Let's ask God to let our minds sink into this. Lord Jesus, we pray in Your name that You would help us to understand what it means to pray to a loving Father. Help us today, Lord, as a result of this time together, to leave this place anxious to pray, hungry to pray, desirous to pray, and to enjoy our prayer life much more than we do right now. Deepen us, God, I pray. Open our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. All that we've learned in this Love Does series is that we can't do it. It'll never happen. Unless we learn to put God first and get to know Him. Talking to God is simply prayer. It's not mysterious. It's not weird. It's not spooky. It's just talking to God. So my goal for today is this. If you have a very sporadic prayer life, or rather if you have no prayer life, you'd start one. If it's sporadic, it would become regular. If it's regular, it would become deep. So all of us can use this today. It's one of those messages where you go, oh, message on prayer. Okay, we get all that. Listen, I'm 41 years old in Christ, and I still need this message. I need to deepen my time with God and deepen my prayer life with Him. So let's learn what this passage means. To have a relationship with God, we need to talk to Him. Think about it for a minute. What's your prayer life like? Scripture says this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. There's really interesting words here. Ask, seek, knock. And now the tense of words matter. Sometimes the translation we miss a little bit, but the tense is really important. These words are in the declarative tense, which means, for instance, if you were to tell your children, shut the back door. That's the same tense as these words. Ask, seek, knock. In other words, it's a command and it's for the immediate. Do this right now. Ask right now. Seek right now. Knock right now. But these words are also in the continuous present tense. The continuous present tense would sound like this. Always keep shutting the back door. So in that sense, it means always keep asking. Always keep seeking. Always keep knocking. That's what God is telling us. That there's never a time when we shouldn't ask, we shouldn't seek, or we shouldn't knock. Keep on doing it. Another example out of the book of Ephesians chapter 5 where it says, be filled with the Spirit. Same words or same tenses. Always keep being filled with the Spirit. Like, what does it mean to be filled? Like, hold a bucket under a faucet, turn on the water, and then just let it run. And when it gets to the filling point, it starts to spill over the edges. You don't turn it off, you leave it run. That's always continually being filled. You're just always at the top all the time, and it just spills over. In the same way, always keep asking. Always keep seeking. Always keep knocking is what Jesus is trying to tell us to do. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear these things, I kind of think that always asking, always seeking, always not, it sounds pushy to me. Does it sound pushy to you? I mean, think about a friend who just, they call you and they're always asking, can I borrow this? Can I borrow that? Can you do this for me? Can you help me? How many, if you saw that come up on your phone, you go, I'm not picking up that call. Are you with me there? No. You wear me out. Because every time you call, you're always asking. Now, there's more to prayer than asking. Okay, there's more, and that's a whole different series. But Jesus, the one we're praying to, is saying, keep asking me. How many of you have told your friends, call me anytime, I'm there for you, and they never call? And you wonder, like, well, do they don't realize that I'm here for them? He really wants us to do this. He is telling us. It's not somebody else telling us. He is telling us. Ask me all the time. Seek me all the time. Knock all the time. I'm not bugged by it. You're not being rude. You're not being pushy. I'm not annoyed. How many think that when you ask too much, God gets annoyed with you? You know why we think that? Because we get annoyed. We want to place our own thinking into God's mind. We want to place our own attitudes into God's mind. And He doesn't think like that. If we ask each other too much, we get annoyed. The Bible even says, be careful lest you wear out your welcome. Because that's who we are as people. God is not like us. He's not a mortal. He's God. And He says, ask me all the time. Seek me all the time. Knock all the time. He even gave two parables. Remember in the New Testament? the two parables, one about an annoying neighbor and one about an annoying lady who wanted justice from a judge. And he says they're annoying. In the middle of the night, the guy has a visitor come over to his house and he doesn't have enough food. So he goes next door at midnight, knock, 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 knock. Hey, wake up, I need some food for my guest. Now there's a cultural thing going on there, but that was something that might happen. And the guy pretends like he's asleep. He's not answering. Knock, 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 knock. Pretend like we're asleep. Pretend like we don't hear it. Kind of like husbands when the baby needs feeding. And, you know, that kind of thing. I used to do that. Well, I didn't have the pipes. But anyway, Sandra, I'm asleep. Don't bother me. Knock, 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 knock. Maybe they'll go away. Knock, 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 knock. Oh, my goodness. Get up. You give them what they want. And Jesus said, the neighbor will get up and give them what they want. Not because they really want to, but because the guy's annoying. That's what it says. And the same with the lady coming to the judge. She just keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming. He didn't care about her. But she's annoying. Jesus then says, how much more will your heavenly Father who loves you, wants to give to you, wants to answer, how much more will he give than the one who gives just because they're annoyed? Church, let's get this in our mind. You can't annoy God. He loves you. He's your Father. He wants for you to ask. And he says himself, keep on asking. The one who receives, finds, and enters in is the one who keeps asking, seeking, and knocking. That's the one. You can ask once and walk away. You may or may not receive. You can seek a little and not find. You can knock once and go, oh, guess they're not home, and walk off. Or you can keep on, keep on, keep on, and you'll find. Now, Scripture says this. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. The one who asks continually, seeks continually, and knocks continually has a heart connected. If your heart's not connected, you won't keep it up, right? Anything in life is that way, isn't it? You'll stop short of your goal when your heart's really not into it. But when you're passionate about it, when you really want it, when it's important to you, you'll keep it up until you find. You'll keep it up until you achieve or until you receive. God said that in Jeremiah 29:13. You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Now, I can't build a theology on this next statement, but I got a feeling that there's a sequence going on here. And I don't know if I'm right. I just think it's interesting that the words that when you ask, you inquire. Where is it? Oftentimes, I'll ask my wife, Sandra, where is it? And she'll ask me back, well, did you look? Does that sound familiar, husbands? It's easier to ask than to look, isn't it? If you already know, just tell me. It sounds simple to me. Just help me out here. But ask first, and then after the asking, there's the seeking. That takes it a little deeper. Seeking is something's lost, or something's not in my, you know, direct field of vision. I got to go find it. And then knocking is let me in. There's active, I'm entering in. And I got a feeling there's some sequence here. I've been kind of thinking that through. I don't know if it's true or not, but it makes sense to me. God wants us ultimately to come inside with him. And it's interesting. In other parts of the scripture, he pictures himself as the one asking, knocking, and we need to open the door and let him in. Here he's saying, I'm the door. Keep knocking, and I'll let you in. And he's not reluctant. He's not busy somewhere else. He's right here, and he's right with us. Well, the question that I know you're thinking right now, but Pastor, I've done that. I've done that. I've asked. I've sought. I've knocked. And it hasn't happened. How long do I keep asking, seeking, and knocking? How long do you think? Long as it takes. Right? Long as it takes. Or, here's what else will happen. As you ask, seek, and knock, you're drawing closer to the Lord. As you draw closer to the Lord, you start to gain the heart and the mind of the Lord. And you'll find quite often that as his nature begins to transform yours, you realize you were asking for the wrong thing in the beginning. And he'll transform your request. So you keep asking until the Lord grants that, or until you hear his answer, or he'll change your heart. And he'll start to show you what your request should have been in the first place. So it's always keep pressing in, keep pressing in, keep pressing in. How often do you do that? How often do you press in? God will give you the answer, or he'll change your heart. A lot of us are really kind of ATM or fast food drive-up prayers. We really are. We drive up, we pay our money, we said our prayer, we want the answer, and we want to get on with life. How many know God's not like that? God is not our McDonald's drive-up window. He's not our vending machine. God is our Father. And he knows there is so much more than just getting what we ask for. There's development that's necessary. And he knows how to develop us. He knows how to work with us and in us. How many remember back, I don't even know when it was it the early 90s or mid-90s? Remember AOL dial-up? Remember, I remember the phone receiver going into the little modem thing, and it would take sometimes 5 minutes, 6 minutes or something to get connected to the internet. Remember that? Now, what's life like today? Oh, man, my computer is so slow, it takes 3 seconds to boot up. I hit, and it didn't, so slow. Aren't we that way with God too? He's so slow. I prayed, God, you know, please help me. Okay, bye, I gotta go. And he didn't answer. God. We are a product of some really bad habits when it comes to deepening our relationship with God. When you pray, when you ask God, you're acknowledging he's your source. Ask him. If my children, when they were young, would go next door and ask a neighbor father to help them out, I'd be ticked. That ain't your dad. I'm your dad. I'm your source. Ask me. God says he's a jealous God. And not that he's sinful jealous. It's just that he wants us to recognize he's our source. When we seek him, you're obtaining his will. Let me tell you what, church. You want his will more than you want your request answered. That's the truth. Because we don't always know what to ask. Once you obtain his will, now you know what he wants. And then you can knock with boldness because you know what his will is. Here's what I know. I can pray for lost souls with boldness. Why? Because I already know God wants them saved. I already know when I pray for a lost person that the Lord wants to save them more than I do. So I can pray that prayer boldly. Once you obtain his will, then you can pray bold. It's an issue of conforming to God's will rather than coercing God. Sometimes we feel we got to talk God into it. We don't have to talk God into anything. We need to be transformed by the process of prayer. And the more we pray, the more we'll discover his mind. The more we discover his mind, the more we'll know what to pray for, because he'll transform our nature. James chapter 4 says this: you do not have because you do not ask, and you do not have when you ask because you ask with wrong motives. When you get close to God, you start to understand the motives. Now, God will always answer, and he'll always answer in one of three ways. He'll answer either yes or no or wait. Now, what is it about us that we're only satisfied if he says yes? Right? That's just our nature. Oh, God answered my prayer. He's awesome. God didn't answer my prayer. At least that's what we thought. God didn't answer my prayer. Oh, God, what's wrong? And if it takes too long, oh, you know, God, I don't know. I'm not even sure I believe anymore. No, he still answered your prayer. He just said no. But for some reason, that's not an acceptable answer to us. And wait is a hard one to kind of discern, because oftentimes wait is sometimes nothing. Maybe we just don't get an answer right away, and because God's not saying yes or no, and we need to keep persisting. Or sometimes he'll say wait, and we go, okay, but I'll keep persisting. So wait is often equally maddening as no. We need to be people who accept God's no's, God's yeses, and God's waits. Think about that for a moment. Is that acceptable to you? don't we often behave like children? Remember when your kids were little? And we've got just such a wonderful boom of young children. So parents right now in that age group get it. But remember just the torment of checking out of the supermarket line? Those demonic people put all those things right there to check out for your kids to go crazy over. I think it's a tool of the devil. I really do. Why do they put the candy there? So that your children can drive you nuts right at the checkout line, and then you'll give in and buy them what they want. And you say no, and they go, ah! They go crazy on you. Well, the answer is still no, and you will survive. God's no's may not make us happy at the moment, but let me guarantee you this. A no from God will bring you joy for the rest of your life. Because we, like little children, don't always know what's good for us. Oh, we think we do. We think we know, but we don't know. God knows. So ask, seek, knock, and listen for the yeses, the noes, and the waits. Number two, when we talk to God, we need to know what kind of person He is. When we're asking, when we're seeking, when we're knocking, we've got to know in our mind who we're praying to. This is really, really crucial. Here's what Scripture said. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, which I love it when God just kind of cuts to the chase and calls us who we are. You then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Now, before you start arguing with God about being evil compared to Him, we're evil. We don't know how to give good gifts. We don't know how to love the way He loves. We don't know the things that He does. He is God and He is perfect in love. Compared to Him, we're a mess. Absolutely evil. We've got to know who we're praying to. And when we know who we're praying to, then we can receive His yeses, His noes, and His waits. We can receive His directions. We can receive even His rebukes because we know He loves us. I love it that my children are older now because we've talked to them about early discipline and we talked to them about, you know, we were spanking parents, not, you know, every other day like we loved it or something, but when the time arose, we would spank. And as the kids have grown up, we talked to them and to all three of them, yeah, we know we deserved it. Yeah, we knew. They know. They know. God knows. Is God good even when He needs to discipline us? Yes. And the mature child then realizes, ah, He loved us even when He was disciplining us. Will God give you bad things when you ask of Him? Will God give you hurtful things when you ask of Him? He's saying, are you kidding me? Will I give you a snake or a stone when you're asking for bread and fish? I'm your Father. We always, always, always have to see God in light of not necessarily an earthly Father, but a loving Father. My greatest delight, it's an absolute delight, is to give good gifts to my children. There is nothing more joyful than watching the explosion of delight when they were little and watch their faces just, you know, so much fun. Christmas times and birthdays and special days when you give something to them and they just, wow, thanks, Dad, thanks, Mom. There's nothing more fun. Listen, why do we feel that as parents? Do you know why? You think it's just natural, a part of the human race? We are made in God's image. He put that in us. That delight to see your children blessed and to see them just so full of joy is a direct reflection of God's nature that He planted in us. That's His nature. He loves to see us be delighted. But here's what I know. Sometimes my kids would ask for something and I knew at that moment that it would make them happy now, but it would make them sad later. No, you can't have the candy now because it would make you happy today. But when you're in the dentist chair getting your teeth replaced, you're going to be very unhappy. So I'm going to think of that joy instead of this immediate joy. We need to stop treating God like He's a stingy God or an angry God or a resistant God. He's not. God is love. God is able and God is willing. All three. Church, He loves you. Not only does he love you, he's strong enough and powerful enough to answer our prayer. Nothing is impossible with God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and it's always loving. Always, because that's who he is. And he's not reluctant, tapping his foot saying, well, I'll give it to you if you prove yourself worthy, if you're good enough, if you measure up, if you go to church enough times, if you serve in the food area, then I'll give you your answer. He's willing. We can't prove enough. We can't earn it. It's who he is. So keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. If you don't understand the character of the Father, it'll affect your prayer life. Because you're going to be worried. Is he mad at me? I'm not hearing. Did I do something wrong? Did I disappoint him somehow? Is he in a bad mood? We put all these earthly emotions onto God the Father, and he's so much different than we are. But he's the same at the same time. He's perfect in love, perfect in all these things. Now, before I don't want to take too much of a tangent, but there is the factor that if we are willfully disobedient, God says no. Because remember, he's a father. How many of you fathers would give your disobedient, rebellious son all kinds of good blessings? I wouldn't. Son, you got to obey me first. Dad, can I have a new car? Sure, son. Forget about the DUI you had when you borrowed your friend's car. The answer is no. You're going to have to show me you're responsible before I'll give you that blessing. Now, sometimes the Word of God says that our disobedience, our resistance to God, hinders our prayer. But all things being right and pure, then he's lover. He loves to give. It is our task to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. It's God's promise to give good gifts. Whoops. It's God's promise to give good gifts. But God decides what a good gift is. We don't get to decide what a good gift is. God decides. We keep praying, and then God shows us. Remember Gethsemane? Jesus in his humanity. Now, he's fully God, fully human, so it's a strange interplay. But in his humanity, knew what was coming with the cross, cried out to the Father three times, God the Father, is there any other way? And God the Father said, Son, no, there's no other way. And the nature of the flesh was transformed. And Jesus arose from that battle in prayer, transformed, changed, and march to the cross. That's the goal for us. Sometimes God will say yes. Sometimes God will say no. Sometimes God will say wait. But in the process, he'll change our nature so that we then know what to ask more readily. And then we can walk in what he says. The function of prayer, I love this quote from Soren Kierkegaard. The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. That's powerful. So many of us treat God as if he's just the one we get things from. No, he's the one who changes us so that we can live the love lifestyle life, or the love does lifestyle. As a result of talking to God and obeying what he says, we will take on his nature and then can live the love does lifestyle. Let me ask you, what's your prayer life like? Are you a never prayer? Let's start today. Start a prayer life. It doesn't have to be 2 hours every day. It doesn't have to be 1 hour every day. Like little children, let's start with baby steps. Let's start every day, spend 5-10 minutes with God. I don't know what to say. Well, just talk to him. If you have problems with really understanding what it means to pray on the back of your connection, oh, we already turned them in. Sorry about that. Shoot an email to the office or myself. I'd be happy to answer that email. Say, Pastor, I'm struggling with understanding how to pray. Can you help me? Absolutely. Or you can go to your groups in common leaders, and they'll help you. Okay? If you're a sporadic prayer and just need some more discipline, an accountability partner will be good. Find someone you can be accountable with, and every day you can just check in and say, hey, how'd your prayer time today? And just make it regular that way. If you are already pretty regular with your prayer life but want to go deeper, that's pretty much a self-feeding issue. Are you seeking? Are you taking yourself deeper? You can learn some Bible study methods and some prayer methods. And I can also help you with some of those too. Some next steps. Maybe this you can see yourself here. One, I tend to pray and then walk away, rarely persisting. Your next step. I now understand that God calls me to pray continually in order to change me and to give me his heart. That might be your next step today. Second one, when I pray, I often perceive God as a reluctant authority rather than a loving father. I will work at seeing God as he truly is when I talk to him. That's an attitude thing. I want to truly see God as a willing, loving, benevolent, gracious, generous God. Not an angry, moody, reluctant, make you prove it type God. And then last, I've been disappointed with God when he doesn't answer the way I want him to. I choose to accept God's answers as good, even if I don't understand. Send me the hardest one. God, I don't understand. What happens when you don't understand? Parents, what do you tell your children when your children say, but I don't understand? What do you say? Just wait, you will. Right? That's what we tell them. That's what God is telling us. Just wait, you will. You'll see clearer. And time goes by. Church, if there's anything we need today, it's to pray more. There's anything we need. So many of us get frustrated in our spiritual journey with a lack of change or what we perceive as a lack of results or even what we perceive as a lack of God responding to us. And the simple issue really is we don't pray. We just don't pray. We need to be a church who seeks God. And you can't program this. Oh, we could. We could say, okay, you know, twice a week in the evening, we're all going to gather and we're going to pray. And, you know, what will happen is there'll be a dozen of us that show up. Because everybody's busy and everybody's running and everybody's going and everybody's got to this and everybody's got to that. And some of the reasons will be, you know, fairly good reasons and others will be not so much. And the bottom line is it's up to every single one of us to say, I'm going to decide. I want to know God. And I want to be transformed by the power of God. As we sang this morning, I want to step out of that grave. I want to come out of darkness into his glorious day. There's a way to do that. It starts with prayer. It's just up to us. Will we be people who will ask continually, seek continually, knock continually? And when we do, you'll be transformed into who you were to who God wants you to be. And when that happens, you'll begin to discern his will. And when that happens, you can pray bold prayers that will be answered because you already have known his mind. God is a good God. And he loves you. Let's pray. Let's ask. Let's seek. Let's knock. For he who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And he who knocks, the door will be opened. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. It's a powerful word. It's a great word. It's an encouraging word, but yet it's a challenging word. Lord, I need to stand before this church family and say, God, I need to pray more. I'm not sure if there's ever a time when I felt like, yeah, I think maybe I pray a little too much. I don't know if that's even possible. Especially when you already said to pray without ceasing. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would work this into us to transform us, to make us different. That all over the Bay Area, as Abundant Life people are at home during the week, that every day there's this group of people who are praying and seeking you. Oh, we're separated by our distance, but we're seeking you all the same. And you're hearing the uproar of prayer as we seek your face. God, truly, our Bay Area needs to see a revival. It's a dark place. Oh, it may seem like it's lit up with all of our tech brilliance and our financial prosperity and the beauty and the weather everything that is here, it seems to some like it's paradise. But really, God, if we saw it from your vantage point, we'd see a dark, dark place. A godless place. Lord, give us a heart for this area that we live in and love, that we might begin to seek you with more fervency so that we can see change happen. Your word already said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, then I will hear from them and I will heal their land. God, we need our land healed. Our land is sick. We need your healing, God. You're the only one. You're the only one that can do it. Politicians won't do it. Military might won't do it. Legislation won't do it. Self-help groups won't do it. Special interests won't do it. We need you, God. For that to happen, we need to pray. We're your people. So I ask in Jesus' name, you would firmly root this, just solidify it in our hearts, that we would seek your face every day. We give you the praise, Lord, in your precious name. And everybody said, amen. Pastor Sean.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.